Welcome to the Gifted to Give podcast. I am Brother Gian. If you're new to podcasting, you're in the right place. I can't wait to share to all of you how wonderful God is as we celebrate the 500 years of Christianity in the Philippines. Good day, listeners. We have once again Monsignor Achilles Dacay as he will preach and teach to us the good news of the gospel for this Sunday,
December 15, 2023.
We have a great number of listeners, downloads, and interactions. We at Gifted to Give Podcast would like to thank everyone for their support.
We are blessed to have our sponsor for our podcast, Podmetrics. Thank you so much, Podmetrics, for the support, and I urge everyone to support them as well.
And now, without further ado, please join us in welcoming Monsignor Achilles Dacay.
Even if it's a rainy Friday morning. So thank God, rain or shine, we are all here for our Bible study online. At once, we go to the Sunday, the third Sunday of January. You know, every third Sunday of January, the Filipino Catholics or the Catholic Filipinos celebrate the Feast of Santo Niño, which is proper in the Philippines. That's why I say Catholic Filipinos, because there are Filipinos who are not Catholics, and I say Catholic Filipinos because not all Filipinos are Catholics. Anyway, we are celebrating this Feast of Santo Niño. From every mystery in the life of Christ, the joyful, the luminous, the sorrowful, and the glorious, we always are privileged to learn a lesson and live by. So here we ask ourselves, year after year, when we celebrate the Santo Niño, what lessons can we learn and live by? So let us try to focus our attention on this subject of the childhood of Jesus. And for that matter, we are made to read the Cycle A Gospel according to St. Matthew, Chapter 18, 1 to 5, then jump to verse 10. Then we have a gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 10. And the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 2. From these gospels, synoptic gospels, we are being taught, and I hope we learn some lessons, others usual and traditional. And what I would like to point out, a point other than the usual and the traditional. So we shall now read the gospel assigned for this year, Cycle A, according to Matthew. But before that, we pray. Almighty God, send your Holy Spirit upon us that we may read your word with faith, reflect on it with hope, and realize it with love. following the example of your only begotten Son, from whom we find the freedom, fulfillment, and the future with you forever. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. So now, we open our Bibles to Matthew 18, 1 to 5, then jump to 10. Please.
The disciples approached Jesus and said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a child over, placed it in their midst, and said, "Amen, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven always look upon the face of my heavenly Father."
Thank you very much. From these three Gospels, Matthew 18, Mark 10, and Luke 2, we learn about the childhood of Jesus, or his teachings about childhood. Let us begin reading and reflecting on Saint Luke, because in the second chapter of Saint Luke, he precisely has recorded, and only Saint Luke has done this, how Jesus at age 8 days were presented at the temple as required by the law of Moses, when he was circumcised and given the name Jesus. But that is not the point I'd like to drive home. I'd like to drive home that verse which says that after the presentation, Mary and Joseph took the baby Jesus back to Nazareth, their hometown, where the baby Jesus grew strong in age and was full of wisdom, and God's blessing was upon him. That was after the presentation. And then Saint Luke records what happened 12 years after, when Jesus was again already 12 years old, went with his father and mother to Jerusalem to observe the festival of the Passover. And we know what happened. He stayed there in Jerusalem, and his parents somehow did not know about it. So they looked for him, and when they found him at the temple in Jerusalem, we know what Jesus said to them, that you did not know that I must be in my Father's house. But that again is not the point. My point is, after that celebration in Jerusalem at the temple, again Mary and Joseph went with Jesus back to Nazareth, where Jesus, we are told, was obedient to them. And he grew both in body and in wisdom and in grace. This is the point I'd like to drive home. You see, usually and traditionally, sermons would be preached on the humility of the child Jesus. or the humility of the Son of God to become man. Usually, traditionally, the sermons would be preached on his obedience to Mary and Joseph, because Mary and Joseph were given the right and the duty to control the child. That's why they were instructed to give him the name Jesus. When you give someone a name or a nickname, you somehow have control over him. That's why Jesus, on his part, was obedient to them, and on their parts, they were controlling Jesus. And the nice thing is that Jesus, thanks to his obedience and to their control, he grew a balanced personality. In age, he became strong in body. In mind, he was full of wisdom, and his soul was pleasing to God. How? We know that Joseph was a carpenter. He must be doing well and earning well with his carpentry, so that Mary would have enough money to buy food, to cook well, and to feed Jesus. So thanks to their being good and doing good, Mary and Joseph let Jesus grow. That's what authority means. He let him grow, but balanced way. In body, in age, in mind, in wisdom, and in grace before God and man. Physically, physiologically, and religiously. That's how balanced this Santo Niño was at the age of 12. Now, that is how Jesus was teaching his disciples then and us now, that we too, when we grow up from childhood to adolescence to adulthood, we must also live a balanced life. That's why in Matthew we are told that Jesus said to his disciples then, and is saying to us now, if you adults want to enter the kingdom of heaven or of God on earth, you must change and become like little children. So the question is, how? Jesus continues to say, if you humble yourselves like this child, you will enter the kingdom of heaven. But I repeat, those are the topics for the usual and the traditional. The child's obedience and the child's simplicity and his helplessness. But Jesus, even as an infant growing up, he was a balanced person. He must be well fed. That's why he became strong and grew in age. He must have been going to the synagogue every Saturday for instruction. And he must have been going to Jerusalem at the temple to worship God. So well balanced at home, in church, and in the school. That is how balanced Jesus was. And that is what we need, I repeat. Yes, we need to be humble. We need to be obedient. We need to be simple, helpless, trusting. That's true. These are the childlike characteristics that we adult must keep and develop in ourselves. But how about growing up as balanced persons? We have been saying that we are born into this world individually. And not only individually, but intentionally, each one with a purpose. But at the same time, we are entrusted to other communities that may help us achieve our purpose individually. And so, if we want to live and go on living a balanced life, we must balance our rights and our duties at home as parents and children, in church as priests and parishioners, in school as teachers and students, at work as employers and employees, in business as sellers and buyers, in government as citizens, law-abiding and God-fearing. This is how balanced our life can be. As long as we count on the communities also that into which we have been entrusted, that we may achieve individually and develop individually ourselves. Grown up, balanced persons. Yes, humble. Yes, obedient. Yes, simple. Yes, helpless. But how balanced, I repeat, are we as persons at home, in church, in school, in business, at work, and with the government? This is the point I am trying to drive home, other than the usual and the traditional. We have, therefore, to be aware of our duties, even as we should be assertive of our rights. Rights and duties and our salvation. So if we perform our rights as well as our duties, we are thereby being saved here on earth in this life, set apart from others, made different from others, made holy, sacred. That's what sanctification is all about. And that's what salvation is all about, which I have been saying is individual here in this world and now in this life. Let us try to live a balanced life as much as we can. Let us try to be assertive, yes, of our rights, but also aware of our duties within the communities into which we have been entrusted. I'm sure you are now thinking of questions that may clarify this point. Jesus, at 12 years old, was not only mature and could stay in Jerusalem even if his parents did not know, but actually what his parents did not know, that he was the Son of God who has a heavenly Father. That's what they did not know. It's not that he did not know that he stayed 3 days in Jerusalem. Jesus himself said, did you not know that I must be in my Father's house doing my Father's business? That's what they did not know. It's like what Jesus would say when crucified, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. They did not know that what they are doing was good for the work of salvation. The soldiers, the people were saying, come down from the cross and save us and yourself. But precisely hanging on the cross was what Jesus wanted to do. And so they were asking for Jesus to do something which they did not know was actually a good thing. Sometimes we do this and we do that, and we really do not know that it is good for them, or him, or for her then. Jesus was a mature person, a very well-balanced person at 12 years old. And that's what we now have. Now, we shall have, notwithstanding the rain, a procession. The procession of the image, which is an icon, which is only a visual aid. It's not an idol, it is an icon. Visual aid for our faith, to see with eyes of our faith God in Him, the Lord in Him. So, the image that we carry along the roads in Cebu City in a procession is only a demonstration in public of our faith in the invisible God made man. I repeat, when we carry the image, the icon, the treasured icon and image of Señor Santo Niño, we are not idolizing him, no. We are only being visually aided to look at the visible image and see with the eyes of faith the invisible God made man. So rain or shine, let us try to show in public, let us demonstrate our faith that indeed we are the followers of Jesus and the imitators of the Christ, especially in living a purpose-driven life that is balanced, well-balanced with our rights and our duties in those communities into which we have been entrusted. Then, after the procession, the Mass. We have had 9 Masses, the Novena prayers. Again, we pray to Señor Santo Niño as our protector and our provider, not as our patron saint, because patron saints, we ask them to pray for us to Him. So as we have been saying, Our Lady of Guadalupe is our patron saint in Cebu, and we ask her to pray for us to Señor Santo Niño. So all prayers are directed to Señor Santo Niño, whose image, whose icon, whose visible aid is precisely what we are carrying in a procession and at Mass. So at Mass, we hear, we listen to sermons that may help us learn as we are being taught this lesson of living a balanced life now and here. Then we have the sinologue. The sinologue is our way of also demonstrating in public our belief in Señor Santo Niño. But let it be understood that the sinologue is not the liturgical act of the feast. It is our secular way of saying that we, yes, we are devotees of Señor Santo Niño in public as well as in private. But then, as the Gospel says, do not despise what children are doing. You must let them come to me, Jesus said. Let the children come to me because the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. So unless you become like little children, living a balanced life, each one of us, we will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So three Gospels, I repeat, that you must read and reflect on. St. Luke chapter 2, St. Mark chapter 10, and St. Matthew chapter 18. In St. Luke, he gave us an example. He was teaching his disciples then and is teaching us now by example, himself growing up a balanced way. And then when he was adult, he was teaching his disciples, unless you, adults, become humble, obedient, like this child, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Unless you become like, not childish, but childlike. Be living that balanced life day after day, trying hard. That's what we pray to Señor Santo Niño, that he may grant us, graciously grant us, the privilege of living day after day, living up to the demands of our faith, but in a very balanced way. So here I pause for some of your questions and reflections on this matter.
And now, words from our sponsor. If you're a current podcaster or plan to create your own podcast soon, I want to share with you the tool that I use to help me monetize my podcast. It's called Podmetrics. Podmetrics is a platform that allows you to have full control of how you monetize your podcast. You can collab with brands and choose between the many merchants that fit your podcast's audience. It also gives you tips and samples on how to execute your ads properly to maximize your earning potential. Plus, you can track how many of your listeners you were able to convert and know how much you've earned in real time. Cashing out is also a breeze. So if you're a podcaster, make sure you sign up by clicking the link in the description box of this episode and use the referral code 500YOCCebu so you can monetize your podcast too. Thank you, Podmetrics. And now, back to our podcast.
Salamat mon sa reflection. I like your reminder to balance in my right and duties as a mother and as a daughter myself to my parents. May God bless my efforts. From a participant, good morning, Monsignor.
Good morning.
I love how Jesus uses concrete examples such as child to make his point. It makes it easier for us to understand and know what to do.
That's true. Jesus really was a very good teacher, always teaching by example. What he would later on teach, before anything else, he himself would give us an example. When he said, "Learn from me, because I am meek and humble of heart," he had been showing that meekness and humility as a child. But I am driving home this point of living a balanced life, rights and duties and salvation.
Good morning, Mons.
Good
morning. Thank you for reminding us always of the Christian order of priorities. It is easy to remember but difficult to do. By God's grace, I will be transformed in my heart and mind to be like Jesus.
That's true. Balanced rights and duties at home, in church, in school, at work, in business, and in the government. That's the need of the hour, and that's what we pray to God through Our Lady of Guadalupe. Let us ask her to pray for us.
Given that Jesus was growing to be a matured and well-balanced adolescent, why was his life beyond 12 to 30 years old not shared by the four gospel authors, given that we could have learned even more on how we should live our lives to please God?
That's true. It's good to ask, why after 12 years, for 18 years, he lived secretly in silence in Nazareth? I think one reason was this. He wanted also us not only to be known in public for living this and living that, but that we may also try to live our private lives just among ourselves. But then we know that even if we are not told how, Mary and Joseph must have been doing very well during those 30 years, because Jesus also grew up balanced in age, wisdom, and grace. So we need not know more about how balanced his life was until he was 12. But I think one reason why the gospel says that at 12 years of age, when Joseph and Mary were in Jerusalem for the Passover, and when they found Jesus, and Jesus for the first time, confessed that he was the Son of the Father, Joseph, in humility, Joseph, the just man, simply disappeared, meaning he had done his role. He has performed his role as foster father of Jesus. There was no need for him to take care of Jesus. Jesus can already take care of himself at 12 years. That's why, since the Bible is not about Joseph, then that's it. After 12 years, no more. No mention of Joseph at all. But then we look at Jesus, how he grew up from 12 to 30 years of age. Don't let us ask for what is not in the Bible. Because there are so many things not in the Bible which we also believe in. But what St. John himself has said, what he has written is enough for you to be saved.
Reflection here. I have many takeaways from our Bible study session today. If we grow up as balanced people starting from childhood, it will be easier to be a balanced person in adult life. Thank you for the beautiful sharing.
It is one point that I have been pondering to deliver home, to take home, because I feel that this is the need of the hour. In the Philippines, after 500 years of Catholic faith, let us show our lives as balanced personalities.
Good morning,
Mons.
Lisod usahay to live a balanced life, especially if naay financial problems ug naay mga nasakit sa pamilya. Gubot usahay ang atong una-una, Mons. But salamat sa reminder.
That's true. Just focus on your rights as well as on your duties. Your rights you may assert, but your duties you must perform. For that is our duty and our salvation.
Thank you, Mons, for driving home the point of a balanced life. This is what we should aspire for constantly and consistently.
That's true.
Pete Senior Mons,
Pete
being
Senior.
Parents is really a serious responsibility. If we are also not formed in a balanced way, it is also affect how we form our children. If we speak ill or in a bad way to our children can pick up this habit. We need to pray for all parents to take seriously their responsibility in raising godly children.
That's true. Yes, we stay at home. Yes, we go to school. Yes, we pray in church. But balanced, meaning, remember the story about three women who went to church early in the morning. The door of the church was still closed, but 5 o'clock it was opened and they entered. The parish priest came out to say Mass, and the three ladies heard the Mass. After the Mass, mga 6 past na, nag-rosary silang totoo. After the rosary, the first vicarial priest, the assistant priest, said his Mass, and the three attended the Mass. Finished after 7. After 7, they prayed their novena to San Antonio of Padua. And after the novena, another priest, visiting priest, said Mass, and they attended the third Mass. It was already 8 o'clock. And we are told, and this is only a story, that our Lord from the tabernacle said, mga manang, pauli na mooy, kay wa pa'y pamahaw ang inyong pamilya. That's overstaying in church. That's not being balanced. So you stay, you pray. In fact, I always believe that when the priest says at the end of every Mass, "Go forth, the Mass is ended," then you go. Precisely the recessional hymn is sung while on the way out. Why do you stay still when you have been told to go forth? So just as the processional hymn is sung from the homes through the streets inside the church, the recessional is precisely on the way out. So we do not stay in the chapel while we sing the recessional hymn. We are all going out.
Pete Senior, Monsignor, and everybody.
Pete Senior.
We are much privileged to be Cebuanos and with Monsignor making it clear for us and helping us the how to do, although difficult as it may. Grateful and thanks.
That's true. We thank God for this interest that we are having and more for this initiative to set up our Bible study online.
Hello, Mons.
Hello.
For 2023, I plan to spend more time with Jesus via Bible study and Holy Mass. I'm trying to increase my time for my soul because I have been paying a lot of attention and money only to my bodily needs. Wala pa na ako mabalance akong life, Mons. Salamat sa reminder.
That's right. So, when we say, "Pit, Señor," we say, "Señor, give us the courage and the strength to live balanced lives." We'll hear precisely this prayer on Sunday. Almighty God, your only Son, begotten from all ages, humbled himself as a child in Nazareth and became subject to Mary and Joseph. Grant that we may learn from his examples to embrace your will in all things and holding fast to the dignity of all, serve our lowly brothers and sisters with open hands and gentle hearts. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. So may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Pete Senior, may God bless us all.
Wow, that was an amazing talk given by Monsignor Achilles Dakai. We are so grateful for the Lord for sending Monsignor Dakai to share God's word to all of us. We would like to thank again Monsignor Achilles Dakai, and also to our heartfelt gratitude goes to all of you who joined, interacted, and asked a question for Monsignor Dakai. Hear more from Monsignor Dakai again next weekend. This is once again the Gifted to Give podcast for your ears only. I am Brother Gian signing off. Have a blessed Sunday to all, and to God be the glory.
You have just listened to the Gifted to Give podcast with your host, Brother Gian, Brother John, and Father Jojo. Catch our next episode. This episode of the Gifted to Give podcast was brought to you by our sponsors. Thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's show, head over to our Facebook page at 500 Years of Christianity, Archdiocese of Cebu. If you love the Gifted to Give podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give a review everywhere you listen to your podcast. Till next time.